Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turning your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians. In verse 17 of chapter 5, the Word of God says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new." This is a much appreciated verse in Christianity, and well, it should be. However, it's not understood in its fullness. And part of the reason why it is not understood in its fullness is because we tend to rationalize what we don't understand. This is not something that somebody should feel condemned about. It's simply the way the human brain works. The human brain has a tendency to fill in the blanks. It's designed that way. For example, scientists have shown us that you only see about 10% of your visual field. So your brain is actually seeing 10% of what you think you see. Only 10% of the information that is within your visual field available, but what you receive is that 10%, and then your brain fills in the gaps. It fills in that 90%, and it paints you a picture, and that's what you see. That's why sometimes you can see things that aren't there. You thought you saw something, and on second glance, you saw something different. That's because of the way the brain works. The brain is designed to fill things in. When there is a portion in the Bible that we don't really understand, because of the design of our brain, we tend to fill things in. And one of these things is right here in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when the Word of God says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That word new is the word kainos. And very good teachers, many of them, will tell you that this is something that is qualitatively new. And they will make a very strong emphasis on the qualitative newness of this. And people appreciate that. I'll tell you right now that it's completely false. The word kainos means newly made. It does not mean new in quality. Why do I say that? Because believers have this tendency to say, "I'm a new creature," and in fact think they are refurbished creatures. You can claim qualitative newness for something that's been thoroughly cleaned up, and believers think that they have been thoroughly cleaned up. Well, I have news for you. How many believers who have been supposedly thoroughly cleaned up still have issues in their life, still have weaknesses and struggles, still have prevailing sins, still have areas they just can't get any victory, but they're claiming that they are qualitatively new. They're not qualitatively new. If I think that this is qualitatively new, and I understand why people say it, they think, well, I've been alive so many years, been around, whatever, 50, 45, however many years you've been around, 70, 900 years, whatever. And I've had this history, and then Jesus came into my life, and His influence cleaned up some bad areas of my life, so I no longer do drugs or sleep around or whatever it is that they used to do. And now I have a clean life in that respect, and that means I am qualitatively new. That is not what kainos means. Kainos means newly made. But if I think that, well, I've got this history, and now I'm new, then I understand the thinking, well, it is qualitative newness. But nowhere in the definition of kainos is the word qualitative found. The word means brand spanking new. The word means right off the conveyor belt. The word means right out of the factory new. Newly made. Can you imagine maybe you bake a cake and you have it for a week and a half, 2 weeks now, and you still have a half of the cake, and somebody wants a slice of it. I know this experience. And your wife says, you know, that might be stale. Why don't you put it in the microwave, zap it for a minute, it'll taste better. You know, she never told me that cake is qualitatively new. If somebody told me that two-week-old cake was qualitatively new, or for that matter, the cake in the grocery store, excuse me, when was this baked? Well, it's qualitatively new. I would have a little bit of an issue with that. Are you trying to say this old food is like new? Or is it actually new food? Well, it's qualitatively new. Take it for what it is. Well, I'm not interested. Thank you. It's not qualitative. The new that is being spoken of, look it up for yourselves. There is no qualitativeness to it. It is newly made. But if you think you have this history, then qualitatively new is the best you can hope for. The problem that we have is we don't understand the nature of creation. And because we don't understand the nature of creation, we don't understand the newness of life. We don't understand the new creature. We don't understand the newness of God's mercies. We don't understand what it means that all things are passed away and all things are become new. People will say, and I totally get it, well, my sins are in the past, and the past is gone. And I have news for you. While this works for us in many respects, and I completely understand why people say it, it's not correct. No, your sins do not remain. But the notion there that your sins are in the past, number one, is incorrect. And people say, well, they don't remain. You don't understand. And that's why people say things like, my sins are in the past. No, they are not in the past. I'm not qualitatively new, and the past is not gone. The past is here. And this can cause a lot of people a lot of trouble because they don't like the thought that the past is not gone, because they think their sins are in the past. Well, if the past is not gone, they may say, then my sins remain. No, they do not. This is the entire principle behind creation relativity. If you don't know what I'm talking about online, go to Amazon, invest 99 cents, look up creation relativity. It's well worth your time. My sins do not exist in time. Now, Einstein showed us that there is no difference between past, present, and future. They all exist now. Can you accept that reality is more than what you can see? Can you accept that there is more to the universe than what is on Earth? Can you accept that while you experience things in a certain way, the universal reality is different than your earthly, localized experience? If you cannot accept those things, then none of this is going to make any sense to you. But if you can accept those things, that there is more than you're able to see, and there's more than you're able to experience, that there is more than what's going on Earth, then you have some hope of getting this. Time is different than our experience. We experience time as though it is a linear progression that is a universal constant. The fact of the matter is, it only appears to us to be a universal constant. It's a non-linear universal variable. Time is different everywhere. As a matter of fact, even though you cannot perceive it, you cannot experientially identify this, the reality of the matter is, because of what time is and the way it works, your head is older than your feet. And conception for both took place at the same moment. Because remember, you started out as a single cell. And then you get this very rapid multiplication of cells. And then by the time you're born, you are trillions of cells. But each one of those cells will experience time a little bit differently. Now, being in the same place, in the same frame of reference, for the most part, or actually very close frames of reference, your head is older than your feet, but you won't be able to feel it. And the reason for that is because of what gravity is. Gravity is the bending of time. We always think of it as an inherent force. It's not. It's the bending of time. Time is the substrate of space-time. Space and time are essentially two parts of one thing. And so where you have space, like between the head and the feet, if there is bending of time taking place, and there is, then time will pass differently for each area of the bend. Now, what's bending time for us? The Earth. The Earth bends time. The Sun bends time. All the cosmic bodies out there, they bend time. Because your feet are closer to the center of the Earth than your head, your feet are younger than your head. The closer you are to the center of the object that's bending time, the stronger the gravity there, and also the slower the time. So less time passes for your feet than your head because you're usually upright. Now, this is not something you can experience because the differences are so small that you can't perceive them. However, they are large enough that you can measure them. And scientists have done that. Now, my point is this. Because we do not understand the nature of time, and that's largely due to the fact that the nature of time is different than our experience is not sufficiently sensitive to give us the ability to comprehend experientially that difference, the nature of it, we will not find this intuitively. Time is different everywhere at all points of the universe. Every point of the universe experiences a different passage of time. Now, Einstein told us that there is no difference between past, present, and future. It's all there now. Think of time as a pond. And there's all kinds of things scattered on that pond. It is fluid. If you drop a pebble into the pond, you're going to have ripples, waves. And you'll have them in every direction. You'll have them to the north side, to the south side, to the east and west, and the points in between. They'll ripple in every direction. We have this tendency to think that that which affects time only moves in the forward direction. In other words, the effect of it is in the forward. But that's not correct. That which takes place in time has an effect in every direction. Time is multi-directional. Now again, I know I just blew some minds. If this is new to you, you're going to have to listen to this more than once. I really do recommend that book. It's only 99 cents. But when something takes place, it affects the present, yes. That's like where the pebble hits the water. It affects the future, yes. And we can understand how the future can be changed. Armies change the future, right? Political changes in the world change the future, and we understand that. Decisions change the future. But when something takes place, physicists like John Wheeler, among many of them, have shown us that it doesn't just change the future, it also changes the past. Because time is not a linear, one-directional, universal constant. It is a non-linear, multi-directional, universal variable. Therefore, things that happen now can change the past. Hence the reason why we can claim things like being washed by the blood of the Lamb. Hence the reason why we can claim things like being a one new man with our Savior in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. We have these truths in the Bible that if we do not understand the nature of time, at least this part, that the past, present, and future are all simultaneously occurring right now. If we can accept that, or at least allow for it, even though we may not understand, then we can start to grasp things in the Bible as they actually are. The principle of creation relativity is found all throughout the Bible. One of the most obvious places it's found is in 2 Peter 3:8, where a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. You see, this is that variability of time. And there, it's a variability compared to our experience of time and God's or heaven's experience of time. The fact of the matter is that time is different than what we experience because we experience it in a very limited, localized frame of reference. But the universe is not that localized as my frame of reference is. Reality is not in my localized frame of reference. Eternity is not in my localized frame of reference. When it says that all things are made new, that is entirely correct. It's not qualitative, it's literal. And I've actually heard in the past people saying, no, that's not literally new, that's qualitatively new. Incorrect. That's not what the word kainos means. Kainos means literally newly made. And they say, well, how can I be newly made? I've been around for 50 years. Well, I'll tell you how you can be newly made. Time doesn't work the way you think it works. Your 50 years does not define what took place in your lifetime. So much so that your head will be older than your feet. And you can't do anything to change that unless you start walking on your hands. Newly made. How am I newly made? Revelation 13:8 says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. The word foundation is the word katabolis. It means structural foundation. It does not mean beginning. We often think of it, well, the Lamb was slain from the beginning. No, no, no. The Lamb is the structural foundation. The word world is cosmos. It can mean world system, but He's not a structural foundation for the world system. That definition doesn't cut the mustard. He is the structural foundation for the cosmos. In other words, for all of creation, everything that is space-time and all that is within space-time, including our planet, including us, the slain lamb is the foundation for. What is the primary portion, the primary principle consideration of the slain lamb? Two things, the blood and the cross. We're not going to deal with the cross right here. We are going to deal with the impact of the blood. The blood cleanses us from all sins, in Revelation 1:5, and it removes our sins in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west. That is a geographic reference. It's dealing with space-time. Anytime you see a geographic reference, it's dealing with space-time necessarily. So, we know that the blood of Christ removes our sins from space-time. The major component of space-time is time. The minor one is space. Both are important. But the one with the bigger impact is time. Because this is all fluid, things can be taken out, things can be put in, things can be altered from one point, affecting all points. You want to know what the center of the universe is? The center of the universe is the cross. The crucifixion was the center of the universe. You know how we know that? Because the slain lamb, the event of the cross, was what it was all built on. The Word of God tells us that God stretched out the heavens like a curtain. Well, this is how it works. He puts it down. Think of a scroll. Think of a curtain that is wrapped on one of those fabric holder things that they wrap curtains around or fabric around. It's put down and then it is spread out. The point where it was put down is the cross. That's the foundation. That's the cross. And then all the rest of history, in all directions, was spread out from that one point. The past prior to the cross, what we consider prior to the cross, the future, what we consider after the cross, it was spread out from the cross. There's the foundation. The blood of Christ is an essential component of the foundation of the universe, the cosmos. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, utilizing the original language, when we read that out of the dust of the ground, God created Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. If we look at the meanings of those words, we find that out of the dust of to show blood, God created to show blood. What does that mean? That means that blood and all of its effects are present in such a ubiquitous manner that even our literal physical bodies and that which is made of has the blood of Christ as a substrate. The blood of Christ cleanses me from all sin. The blood of Christ cleanses me from all sin. How is it that I'm not just refurbished? Well, if I think that time is a universal constant and it's one-directional and linear, I'm going to depend on time being eradicated rather than sin being eradicated. time is not eradicated. The past still exists, but your sins have been removed. Hence the reason why we can never give those bragamonies that some people want to give.
Well, when I was 20 years old, I had an alcohol problem, and now God delivered me and cleaned me up.
And the fact of the matter is that that is a complete falsehood. The blood of Christ eradicated that the moment it took place. And why does anybody go to hell? People will ask. Well, Matthew 7 tells us why. Because people simply will not believe. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin, in Romans 14:23. And because it was sin, and the blood eradicates sin, and their entire life was defined as lack of faith, not one moment of faith in their life. All of it was eradicated from time. And so Jesus said to them in verse 23, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Never, not once. Not even for a moment in time were you present. Because if you were present in 1 John 3:20, he would have known you. He would have known you. He knows all things. But if you're not present, he never knew you. Not even for a moment. We are absolutely new. Down to the physical body, we are new. The Word of God says in Ephesians 4:23, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now, this is more, although it starts with, start utilizing correct thinking. As a person receives the Word of God and instruction from the Word of God, and they mix faith in Hebrews 4 with what they hear, the Holy Spirit in John 16:13 will guide them in all truth. He will become their instructor in Matthew 4:4. As the Holy Spirit instructs you, your frame of reference is altered. The premise for your thinking becomes rooted in the Word of God. And your frame of reference, which is established on the premise of your thinking, is then going to be that which is the Word of God. That takes no effort. It's simply thought, but with a certain collection of thoughts or information of prerequisite concepts that define our reality. Those things will then be interpreted and analyzed on the basis of the premise that we possess, on the basis of our frame of reference. That will in turn change our experiences and our understanding. Scientists have shown us that there is a very powerful connection between the mind and the genetics. And the connection is called the epigenome. The epigenome consists of those molecular structures that regulate and control the activity of your DNA, of your genetics. Without the epigenome, the DNA would be nothing more than a chain of chemicals. That's it. But it's the epigenome that allows those chemicals, that chain of incredibly complex information, to be utilized. It is the control mechanism. The epigenome is profoundly influenced by experiences, thoughts, things you see, things you hear, everything that takes place in the mind will have profound influence on the epigenome. It will alter the way that it works. This is not theory. This is science. We know this to be true. Biologists have demonstrated this. If I alter the function of the genes by altering the control mechanism of those genes, then the genes will function differently. Now consider that every hour more than 1 billion cells are replaced in your body. The oldest portion of your body is in the skeleton and it's never more than 10 years old. If you have this renewed mind, refreshed, made new in its thinking, because you receive the word of God, because you cast down the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, because you now have the mind of Christ rather than a natural mind, that in itself will alter the expression of your genes. As your body is producing over 1 billion new cells per hour on the basis of a renewed epigenome, one that is now controlling your genetics differently, it is remaking every portion of your body. Yes, in Jeremiah 31:4, the harlot can become a virgin. Because scientifically, biologically, that's the way the body functions. So I get a renewed mind, and the body is renewed according to the contents of the mind. And when it says that all things are made new, absolutely, not only in terms of physics and space-time, but also in terms of biology, all things are indeed made new. Number one, you can change the past from the present. Physicists have shown us this. God has no problem with it. He can simply look at the table or look at the pond, scoop something out, put something else in there, and there it is. And it doesn't matter where along the table he's sitting. He can reach the whole thing. The blood of Christ eradicates all sin the moment it takes place because it is part of the foundational substrate upon which everything rests, of which it is all made. So sin, whatever is not of faith, that includes outward sin or inward sin, mental sin, what have you, it's all eradicated by the same mechanism immediately as it appears in time. It is eradicated from time. Now all we have left is moments of faith. And by the way, that's what we're rewarded on when we go home to be with the Lord. You are not qualitatively new. You are literally newly made. There's nothing qualitative about it. A couple years ago, I bought a refurbished computer because it was cheaper. Worked like new, looked like new, but they could never call it new. They said in the advertisement, like new, but not new. Refurbished. It's been around a while. They just cleaned it up. You haven't been around a while. Why do I say that? Because that's not how time works. You think you have, but you haven't. You think you have because you walk by sight, and your reference is your natural experience in an extremely limited, localized frame of reference. But it does not anywhere near represent reality. You are new. Newly made. You're not qualitatively new. You are newly made, fresh out of the factory. And people say, I remember. Oh, so you haven't had a renewed mind yet. Your mind has not gotten to the point where you're agreeing with the Word of God. Is that what you're saying? Your remember is an issue of perceptions
only.
You know what one of the most common disputes is among people? Memory. This is what happened. No, that is what happened. And both of them swear up and down and are equally convinced that they are right, even though they're telling you completely opposite stories. But their memory tells them they're right. Your memory is merely a perception issue. The vast majority of it is established in the unconscious mind. That means that the vast majority of your experiences come from something you don't even know is present. And it taints and changes the way you experience. If you're relying on your memory, you're relying on the wind. It's useless. The Word of God is the only sure thing. Now, we come to portions of the Scriptures, like in Lamentations 3:23, where the Word of God says that God's mercies are new every morning. That's a different sort of a new, but it's related. How can God's mercies be new every morning? Wouldn't you say maybe they're just refreshed? Does He add mercies to where there were no mercies before? The word morning is referring to beginnings. God's mercies are new at every beginning. Let me ask you something. The Word of God said that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. When did that take place? And there are some intellectual types out there who say, well, we know that the creationists in the Bible and all, they say that it's 6,000 years, and then the other side says it's millions of years and blah, 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 blah. None of that is worth a hill of beans. Save your arguments, they're useless. It was now. You ever wonder why it is that scientists can see star-forming regions in the universe when all the stars were formed on the fourth day? And so, well, clearly that can't mean literally they were all created on the fourth. No, it means literally they were all, every single last one of them, created on the fourth day, and yet we can see star-forming regions. And the answer is, time is not a universal constant. Time is a universal variable. Since the point of in the beginning, those words, 4 days have passed in our 6,100 and approximately 40 years. Over there, in that same amount of time that we experienced here, in those moments, only something over 72 hours have passed. That's why it appears so slow to us. A star, we think, takes about a year to form. No, the stars form really fast. But you take that really fast and you film it and you stretch it out so that you get 6,000 years of film for real fast, it's going to look real slow. But it's really fast. Because over there, it's still the fourth day. Over here, it's 6,000 years. Elsewhere, who knows? It depends where you are. And on a whole host of other conditions. Can be any amount of time. When they say the universe is billions of years old, that makes no sense. Because the universe is ageless. It has no age. How old is the universe? Where exactly are you? And by exactly, I mean on which atom are you? Because the motion of each atom, it's similar to others perhaps, but it's different. It's its own unique atom. It's got a different age. You can't claim an age. Do you see what Satan does? He says the Christians must argue for a young universe. The other side, the secularists, the Big Bangers argue for an old universe. And instead of being concerned with really just revealing Christ to them, you enter into this argument in which no party is in truth correct. It's not 6,000 years. It's not 16 billion years. It has no age. And since it has no age, let's get everybody arguing about the age. You're arguing about a vapor. It doesn't make any sense. But Einstein showed us it has no age. Over there it's 4 days. Over here it's 6,000 years. Who knows what it is everywhere else? It doesn't matter. It has no age. The fact of the matter is that the foundation of the universe is the slain lamb. And by the way, don't say it's 2,000 years ago. There is no difference between past, present, and future. It is still now. And because it is still now, even though the work is finished, yes, absolutely, it is finished. But it is also being written. Because as it is finished, it is being written. In other words, there is no difference. 2,000 years ago, now, 10,000, 100,000, whatever you want to call it, 100,000 years into the future, it is no difference. It's all present now. That's why I can have a free volition and have the work still be finished. And God, who is standing outside of time, looking into time, sees the end from the beginning, and it's all being formed because He is the one forming it. And the beauty of it is, He gives us a place. He lets us participate. That's what prayer is about. Letting us participate as God creates history. God's mercies are new every beginning. Because we are at the beginning and at the end and all points in between simultaneously. We are in time. Some say, does it mean the future is written? What it means is that all of time is taking place right now. History is really non-existent from the way that we think of it. Yes, we can point back to events that have taken place within our frame of reference or frames of reference that are extremely close to ours. And in our experience, we experience a linear constant. But can you accept that your experience does not describe all of reality? Can you accept that there is something more outside of us? Can you accept that there is something more outside of you? Because what you experience and what is are two different things. It's like this. I've never been to China, but I'd be willing to put money on the fact that China exists. I've never been to China, but my blue jeans have. So can you accept that there's something beyond your experience? Well, the fact of the matter is, what is beyond your experience is immeasurable. There's so much of it, you can't even begin to fathom. Why are you new? Because you've just been made. That's why you're new. Because you have just, literally just been made. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 100 years old. There is no difference. You've just been made. And your birth and your death and everything in between are present now. So yes, you are new. You are newly made. Everything that is sin is eradicated out of time. That means you cannot say, yesterday I did this. No, God sees yesterday and it's not in there. It's eradicated from time. From time. The past is still there, but it's clean. The present is there, but it's right. The future is there, It's victorious. And by the way, so is the past and the present. To be renewed in the spirit of my mind, well, I need doctrine so that I have the right frame of reference, but I also need to simply trust God. Never rationalize in the Word of God what you don't understand. The fact that you don't understand it doesn't mean, number one, that it's not real, and it doesn't mean, number two, that there is no way to understand it. It just means that you don't have understanding yet. If it seems strange to you, don't worry about it. Just believe God. The reason why it seems strange to you is because you have not grasped all of it yet. Once you grasp all of it, it won't seem so strange. You don't need to rationalize it. You don't need to change it. You don't need to bring it into an understanding, and you don't have to bring it into some sort of conformity to your experience. It all works together very nicely as it is. You just accept it by faith, and you can be sure that you are new because you don't have to rationalize it. You can accept it by faith. You are newly made, brand new, everything about you. The Bible says so, and it's so. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.